And now we will have the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you.
So, as always is the case, Council members, there is a report that bears my name, which provides a summary of activities, programs, and services which staff is engaged in on your behalf and on behalf of the courts and the public since our most recent meeting, which was only a short period of time ago. So I have one matter I'd like to highlight from the written materials, and that is the court statistics report, which, as you know, is published annually and was published again this last week concerning fiscal year 2012-2013. The report, as always, provides a statewide caseload data summary and a 10-year data trend on a wide range of court business in the Supreme Court, the Courts of Appeal, and the 58 Superior Courts. Our Office of Court Research is now preparing individual management reports for each individual court with tailored 10-year trend data and other caseload management data for their consideration. The statewide report showed a continued downward trend in case filings, 7.7 million in fiscal 12-13, representing a 9.7% decrease from the previous year, much of the decline occurring in misdemeanors, infractions, small claims, and civil cases under $25,000. Justice Miller's statement in the Council's news release regarding the report appropriately identified this as a worrisome trend because it coincides with the significant increase in court filing fees enacted by the legislature in recent years to offset the considerable reductions in general fund support for court operations. It also, unfortunately, coincides with closures of courthouses, courtrooms in courthouses, and reduction of service hours, which, as we all know, are ongoing. Stated otherwise, the data reinforces our concerns about the increased difficulties for our public in accessing their courts and exercising their rights, and it certainly provides solid information supporting the Chief's ongoing quest for reinvestment. On another note, and outside of the written report, as alluded to by Judge Herman, either in the process of attending scheduled meetings, celebratory events, or scheduled ceremonies, I have finally and now completed my visit to each of our 58 Superior Courts. The purpose of my visits, as with your Judicial Council liaison visits to the Superior Courts, is to gain a three-dimensional understanding of the challenges facing each one and some insight into the steps your staff does take or could take to provide service so as to ensure that to the extent that we can do better, we do. During my visits, whether in El Centro to the south, Alturas to the north, Santa Ana or Martinez, I observed that which I learned many years ago in private law practice, first in the urban counties of Southern California and later in the largely rural counties of the North State, and then finally, of course, sitting in my own court and on assignment and cross-assignment in several other adjoining courts. And that is that in terms of the challenges that are presented to our superior courts, aside from issues tied to the magnitude of scale, very little separates our courts. Also, in terms of problem solving, I confirmed that innovative solutions are being routinely developed and implemented in our superior courts, which makes perfect sense because it is there where cause and effect both reside. Some innovations will give rise to permanent reforms, statewide, I might add. Others are more the application of band-aids and baling wire to resolve current crises. Also, I would submit that the visits that I made and the visits that you make, along with the great work of the task force recently chaired by Judge Walsh, will increase the process of cross-pollination of these ideas and these innovations to ensure that they're most beneficial to the Californians that we serve. From my visits and exposure, the most striking of the opportunities for reform and advancement in virtually every aspect of superior court service to the public, by which I mean the provision of quality justice and access to justice, is in an area where at present there is considerable disparity from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And that has to do with the transition to a digital, paperless environment. the observable benefits in places where that has begun, to bench officers, to court staff, to counsel, to self-represented litigants, and to the public generally, are almost indescribable in their significance. I'm going to pick on Napa County, not particularly because it is unique. Happily, there are many courts that are beginning to move on. But on my visit there, kindly aided by a court executive officer who will soon take a seat at this table, I was walked into the criminal felony calendar department just at the conclusion of one of the calendars. Well, most of us have, at one point or another in our careers, managed a high-volume criminal felony pretrial calendar. And we know that when we walk into that courtroom, especially at the end, there are files all over, not strewn, but stacked, on the judge's bench, on the clerk's table beside, on the floors, in push carts. There's paper galore. I walked into this department, and it was paper-free. There were no carts. There were no hand trucks. There were no stacks of files. There was a small sheaf of paper that I saw on one corner of the bench, and I had to find out what that was. And, of course, it was some bench warrants that the judge actually had to sign before they were scanned into the system. I was shown the display where the judge was able to look at every sheet of paper that was filed as it had been scanned in. And she described to me that her clerks were done with entering their minutes and they were done with calendaring all future events. It was all done. And it had been completed just as the door was closing on the last participant to those hearings. Just an absolutely remarkable transformation and a huge time saver. I was also taken to the mediation center. And for those of us who have served in the family law department, as everyone knows, one of the big challenges is the timeliness of providing permanent custody and visitation orders involving minor children, which by law involves a multi-part process, including the process of a referral to mediation and then a return from mediation and the enormous time gap now growing, unfortunately, in most of our jurisdictions that we experience. One of the biggest problems, of course, is that the law requires there be a mediation orientation session that all participants involve themselves in before they actually have their personal mediation session. And that itself is problematic for folks who work and who have travel issues and all the rest of it, not to mention to the court, whose staff has to be devoted routinely and regularly to providing these classes. In Napa County, as in other jurisdictions I discovered, that process has been converted entirely to essentially a contact with the court through its website. The mediation orientation program was entirely transferred to that digital means so that people could access their orientation session any hour of the day, any day of the week, weekends included, of course, as well as evenings. And it dramatically speeded up the process. There was only one event that had to be scheduled, and that was the actual mediation session. It was just a striking example of how time and money can be saved with such a process. And the thing that was most interesting to me was that the court made provision for continued in-person mediation orientation, expecting, as I surely would have, that a number of people would be still showing up. Well, I sort of forgot that folks who are of child-bearing and rearing age have all been raised in the world that is only second nature to me, and none did. Everyone is now doing mediation orientation, essentially, in Napa County in that fashion. So those are just two examples, and I think it's appropriate that today the court technology, governance, and strategic plans will be brought forward for your consideration by Judge Herman and the task force and committee that have been working so hard on that project. All in all, these court visits on a human level have presented a wonderful opportunity to connect with the leadership of all of our trial courts, and that certainly enabled me to see that with all the challenges, this is a determined glass half full branch of government dedicated to serving our reliant public. You should also know, and I think it's important that you do, and I expect you already have learned this from your own visits, that as I sat with court leadership in each of the courts at table and chambers or conference room and discussed their issues, when I inquired into how we could adjust or improve services to the courts, I received volunteered appreciation for your staff's work in the broad array of programmatic and administrative services that they cheerfully provide to all of the courts. either regarding planned service or emergency services, as everyone is aware of. Their thanks in that regard was always genuine, and it was always personal. When they would give, for instances, or examples of the assistance that they received for which they were appreciative, it usually was characterized in terms of naming the person or persons, not simply the office. And I think that that is most significant.